Bob Meister and Randy France with Get the Deed, and we're going to be interviewing Ron LeGrand. Then Ron has to be viewed as one of the patriarchs in the industry. I've heard comments that Ron's done over 1,400 homes, but what difference does it make? I think once you get over 1,000, you quit counting. And Ron, you've led the industry in telling us how to get the deed, and part of a very crucial component of that is putting property into a land trust. And if you take some time, we'd like to ask some questions on just exactly what do we do and what is a land trust and how does that work, Ron?
Okay, well, listen, guys, thanks for having me on here. It's always a pleasure to talk to folks who are on the move, and I know you guys are. We go back a long ways together, and you say land trusts apply to getting the deed. Truthfully, they apply to any way you take title to a property, and so we got a whole list of questions here that you sent me, and so we're just going to annihilate them one at a time, and by the time we're through, there shouldn't be any remaining questions left on land trusts, and if they are, they're a bad question, they probably don't need an answer. Wouldn't you agree?
I'd agree with that.
Yes, sir.
Randy's put together a list here that's phenomenal. Randy, would you want to just go through the start off at the top one?
Yes, sir. Just what is a land trust, Ron?
Well, it's black ink on white paper.
Okay.
It's 6 or 8 pages with black ink on it, and truthfully, it's nothing more than an entity to take title of to a property in. It is a lot less complicated than people make it out to be, and frankly, I don't know if I know anybody who's actually stayed awake while reading the whole document in one sitting.
But it's not all that complicated to fill out, though, is it?
No, it's not. In fact, there's only a handful of blanks in it. One of them is the trustee's name, the beneficiary's name, what percent interest you want to own in the land trust. If you're a husband and wife team, it's probably husband 49, wife 51. At least that's what the women tell me anyway.
Okay. Well, that's
usually true. And a place to put trustee's signature and beneficiary's signature, and that's about it, other than the county and the state and the property address and legal.
Why would a real estate investor, or anyone for that matter, want to use land trust?
Well, there are actually several advantages. The biggest and most common and most important to me is privacy, Randy. You see, the land trust owns the property. You own the land trust. Therefore, the deed that puts the title of the property into the land trust is recorded on public record. The trustee's name shows on that deed, but nowhere does it show the beneficiary's name. Therefore, if the beneficiary's name is not on public record, no one can go do an asset search and find out who the beneficial interest of the land trust is. So you have privacy. Again, trustee's name is out there, but not the beneficiary. Beneficiary owns the trust. Trustee is a pawn sitting there waiting for instructions from the beneficiary to do only what they're told when they're told. There are other benefits, but frankly, privacy is the biggest and the most important. And I don't even know why we need to get into the other benefits, because very few people are going to assign the beneficial interest of a land trust. For example, it's so easy to transfer ownership of a trust to someone else. But in my experience, Randy, I used to teach to do that, but in order to assign a beneficial interest of a land trust to someone, the other side has to understand what a land trust is. And my experience has been it's just as easy to have my trustee deed the property to my buyer than try to explain what a land trust is.
Yeah, I've also found that to be true.
So for the simplicity of this tape, to try to make it simple so people actually implement this thing and not so complicated that they wonder if they're doing the right thing, let's just call it the main benefit right now is privacy.
Okay. Is this something new?
Well, it started back in the Roman Empire days.
Well, I'd say that's pretty good for us.
I'd like to take credit for inventing it. I didn't. Frankly, I can take credit for educating investors throughout the world on it, or throughout North America on it. And it was around a long time before I started teaching back in the late 80s, but it was a very little known document or tool back then. Now it's quite common in most metropolitan areas throughout the country, some more than others, of course. But no, it's been around a long time.
Ron, what did you do before the land trust? Did you take property in the name of yourself or your company's name? Or what?
Well, in my very, very early days, I took title in the name of individuals, but I soon found out that that wasn't a smart thing to do. Truthfully, guys, I heard about the land trust about 6 or 7 times before I did anything with it as well. So let me just make it clear right now, if that's you and you're listening to this, go ahead and play it 6 times and get it over with, because we want you to implement it immediately. I started taking titles into my corporation very early in my career, and then I discovered that land trust is always the best way because I don't even want my corporation on public record for two reasons. I don't want it exposed to a liability as the owner of the property, but I also don't want the whole world to know that I'm a real estate tycoon buying and selling a lot of properties, and I just don't want my name or my corporate name all over public record. Got to keep a low profile and stay out of the line of fire. And I've just found that your business is going to go a lot smoother if the rest of the world doesn't know what you own.
Mm-hmm. And the process for putting a property into a land trust, is that difficult?
Well, it is when you hear it the first two or three times.
Okay, and I can believe that. It took me a little while, too, to understand it, to be honest with you.
I know it did. I remember.
I know. We're all a little hard-headed some days.
Well, so are the rest of us. We're males. We have this testosterone problem, Randy, so and we always want to do it better our own way. But there's only two parts to a land trust. The first part is the deed that puts the property into a land trust. That's called a warranty deed to trustee. It is a two-page document. The first page just has legalese about the land trust, the trustee's name, the beneficiary's name, and the legal description, and the county. And the second page simply calls for the seller's signature. Seller meaning whoever is deeding the property into a land trust becomes the seller. So, and a notary at the bottom. So if you're deeding your own properties into a land trust, you're in effect the seller. You're deeding them to the trust. It's a very, very simple two-page document. However, it is the critical key because if that deed does not get recorded funding that trust with that property, then there is no land trust. The deed is the important thing. In reality, many investors don't ever go home and fill out the trust agreement, which is the second part of the package. The trust agreement is a 6 or 8 page document that we just described that determines who the beneficial interest is and sits down all the articles of the trust. So the smart thing to do, of course, would be to have the deed recorded, funding the trust, creating the trust. People ask me all the time, how do you start a trust? Well, the answer is you fill out a deed and record it with a property. You have just started a trust. Now, if you go home and fill out the trust agreement, fine. You should do that. We'll get to that later. But if you do, the only place it's going is in your filing cabinet at home. You see, that's the beauty of it. No one sees the trust agreement except the beneficiary and the trustee who signs it once. Even the trustee doesn't need a copy of the trust agreement. So the evidence is in your file. That's why no one knows who the owner is of the land trust. And while I'm talking about that, they can't find out without a court order. No one can require a copy of your land trust with two exceptions that I'm aware of. A, your lender has the right to require a copy of it, and B, when you're selling the property, your title company or attorney may want a copy of it just to verify that the beneficiary has given the trustee their right to sign the deed to sell the property. So to recap, land trust has two parts, a warranty deed to trustee to put it into the trust, and a trust agreement. And I don't want anybody to confuse a warranty deed to trustee with a deed of trust or trust deed.
Mm-hmm.
We're really going to get them confused here, guys.
Oh, yeah.
A deed of trust and a trust deed are not the same documents as a warranty deed to trustee. If you just think about it, just the title of it, if you just give it a thought, a warranty deed to trustee means that we're deeding the property to the trustee who is responsible for the trust.
Right. So the trustee, in effect, holds the property in trust for the beneficiaries, and their name goes on public record then.
Correct.
Okay.
And I assume you're going to ask me who should be your trustee.
Well, eventually, yes, sir.
Okay.
Maybe we should do that right now, Ron.
Okay.
I mean, there's a whole variety of people or entities. What do you recommend?
Well, I always recommend that a corporation, your corporation, be your trustee. But unfortunately, there are several states that won't allow a corporation to be a trustee unless it is a licensed trustee corporation with the state. a few of those that come to mind right now are Georgia and Texas, for example. Those two states require an individual to be the trustee. Florida, where I live, I have a corporate trustee. My own corporations, one of my corporations, is my trustee. I'm the beneficiary, so it's me, myself, and I. But in reality, it isn't, because a corporation is not you. It is a total separate entity by law. So I make it my trustee, and then I don't even have to have anybody else involved in my business.
Now, the corporation, you mean really any entity that has a separate EIN number?
Well, that is true.
So
you're
it could
right.
be an LLC
any entity
or
can be a trustee. However, we need to caution our listeners against something. The trustee entity cannot and should not be the beneficiary.
Mm-hmm.
The trustee and the beneficiary have to be two totally separate entities. And you could say, well, why don't I just make my corporation or my LLC the trustee, and then I'll make myself the beneficiary?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great, but it would not be a prudent move to have the funds go into the entity that is the trustee if it is assumed that that entity is not the owner of that trust. Let me clarify that a little bit. I have ABC Corp as trustee. I have Ron LeGrand as beneficiary. Well, if in effect I am going to run the funds through ABC Corp and I'm going to report the property as an ABC Corp property to the IRS, in reality, ABC Corp is the beneficiary, whether the trust agreement shows it or not,
right.
Because they are getting and receiving the money and the IRS, you're reporting the IRS that they are the owner. So, in a nutshell, if you're going to use a corporation as a trustee, it should be a different corporation than that owns the property or that the money is going in and out of.
So you would recommend a corporation that does no business, no business in or out, just a corporation you create, does no...
Well, some people have multiple corporations. I don't have any problem with Corporation B being the trustee when in reality the money's going to Corporation A.
Okay.
Some people use LLCs.
But now that brings up the question they're going to say, but you know, you have to register your own name down at the state house, and they're going to be able to find you. So how do you answer that?
Are you mean as the owner of
the corporation? Yeah.
Well, the good news is, finding the owner of a corporate trustee will not get you very far.
Okay.
Let's suppose that you find me, I'm the trustee, whether I be individual or corporation. You call me in and you say, who's the beneficial interest? I'd have to say, I am sorry, I can't answer that without a court order.
Well, also, a lot of beginning investors, they're lucky if they even have a single corporation or LLC or whatever. Mm-hmm. Would you recommend having a distant relative as being a trustee?
I would recommend that a relative be the trustee as long as the relative has a different last name.
Okay.
I don't want anybody searching public records to even have a hint that the beneficiary or who the beneficiary is.
Sure.
And I sometimes recommend that husbands use their spouse's maiden names to be their trustee.
And how about out of state?
Well, it really doesn't matter where the trustee lives or where the beneficiary lives.
Well, I'm just mentioning that if they're out of state, that's just one additional level of insulation that the...
Well, that's true, but if your name is Bob LeGrand and my name is Ron LeGrand and you're my trustee, no matter where you live, it's still going to be on public records where the property is, and then LeGrand will...
Sure.
You know, just might indicate to some predator that we know each other. You know.
No, I meant also that they had a different last name and they didn't live in the same state. That combination. I think the different last name is the real key.
Yes.
Yeah. Now that you've been teaching this so long, and it seems like the investors ask all these questions, and the homeowners and that we're buying from and putting these properties to in a land trust, they don't have all these questions. But is the legal community, have they gotten smarter about this? Do they understand more about trust and things?
Well, that depends on where you live and how much investor activity is going on where you live. For example, here in Jacksonville, where I live, the land trust is no big deal. Most title companies are aware of it. Most of them have them right in their computer, and they'll pop one out for you.
Mm-hmm.
I find that to be the case in most anywhere where there's a lot of investor activity. It wasn't the case 10 years ago, Randy.
No, I bet not.
I mean, literally, I have educated the industry about it. Not me personally, but by educating the students, they have to go educate their attorneys and title companies. Not everybody is using it heavily. There are still areas in the country where you're still going to have a problem using it. And therein lies a reason to discuss how to go about trying to educate someone on it. The truth is, most people create their own problems by trying to do a training seminar to their title company or attorney. You know, you don't have to do that. You don't need your title company's permission to use a land trust. You don't need your attorney's permission. You don't need anyone's permission to use a land trust. Therefore, you don't need their blessings. Why try to explain it to them? You just simply hand them the deed, warranty deed to trustee. This is the deed I want to use. And obviously, any closing agent who doesn't understand it is not going to condone it. And this is where I see a lot of students backing off. They tried to get people to understand something that they don't understand, and obviously it's human nature. If I don't understand something, then I'm not going to have anything positive to say about it.
Well, there's a level of confidence that you have to have. You know, you discussed the one of the major benefits is that of a land trust is being privacy, but can we put more than one property into a single land trust?
I don't suggest it. One trust, one house, that way you don't have all your eggs in one basket, and it doesn't cost any more to do that than it does to put them all in one land trust. Besides, you're going to be filling out a deed for, you know, 10 properties. That's 10 different times periods that you're going to be filling out a deed. It's no harder to put them in 10 different land trusts than it is in one land trust, because the good news is a land trust doesn't require a federal ID number or any kind of special accounting or a special reporting at the end of the year like a corporation or an LLC does. So there's no reason not to have multiple land trusts because there is no cumbersome reporting burden on the back end.
So if it doesn't cost any additional money to put it in a land trust, why doesn't everybody do this, you wonder?
Well, I don't know, Randy. Why isn't everybody rich? And
well, because people just don't seem to understand.
Well, people, you know, it's common human nature for people to back off from something that they don't understand. Most people make the land trust to be a whole lot more complicated than it really is, and all three of us are in that group when we started.
Oh, yes.
If you don't understand something, then you're afraid to proceed because you're not sure whether you're doing the right thing. But here's the good news. If you put a property into a land trust, you can always take it back out. It is not an irreversible decision.
Yeah.
So if I have a warranty deed go into a land trust, I just simply have the trustee sign a warranty deed back out of it. It's that pathetically simple. If I make a mess on the deed, I just file a corrective deed.
Ron, are there any downsides then to putting a property in the trust?
The only downside, Bob, frankly, is ignorance from those who don't know about it, who will sometimes stand in your way and try to put a roadblock in front of you. That's the only downside I've ever seen about a land trust. Sometimes students go out there and they try to use them, and they're dealing with people who don't have a clue about them, and so the resistance flag goes up, and pretty soon the student backs off because now they're not sure because, you know, they're taking advice from these so-called experts, and golly, if they're an expert, if they're an attorney, or if they're on a title company, surely they should know about this land trust. You know, maybe that stuff I heard in that seminar doesn't apply to me. Maybe it applies to everybody else but me.
Well, how many times do you get the questions like, does it work in your state? And
it works in all 50 states.
There you go.
And that includes Texas.
Well, Texas and California seems to be the people that have the most resistance to it.
Well, California is another country.
Isn't that the truth? Okay, so if there's no downside risk and there's no federal ID, how about when we report on our income taxes? Is there any income tax responsibility or anything like that?
The land trust is a non-taxable entity. The IRS treats it as a non-taxable entity. It's a pass-through entity. I've read it in the code myself. There is no special reporting, no ID number, no accounting, no special form, and for crying out loud, don't even tell your CPA your properties are in land trust so he or she won't go try to get you an ID number and make a mess out of it.
Good point.
CPAs do not understand land trust, and there's no reason they need to know because, the answer to your question, if your property is reported on a Schedule E now as a rental property, you simply continue reporting it on a Schedule E. Don't change a thing on your tax returns because you put your properties into a land trust.
Okay. Well, that
you're
brings
making
up
it sound pretty
question.
Simple, Ron. I mean, you're making it sound like it's a fairly simple process. Obviously, once you go through the first one, you feel like you've done something you've never done before. But after the first one or so, it seems like it's pretty simple.
It is simple. In fact, I'll tell you, you know, it's no harder to fill out a warranty deed to a trustee than it is a plain old warranty deed.
Good point. Good point.
And about property, it's just going to be in your name a short time. If I'm flipping property, should I use a land trust for that also?
Well, I don't know. Let's explore that. Let's say you're wholesaling a house.
Okay.
Okay, you take title. I mean, you're going to do a simultaneous closing.
Correct.
All right. Now, this, of course, wouldn't apply if you're doing an assignment of contract, Randy.
Correct.
Because the deed will go from the seller directly to your buyer, and you'll get an assignment fee in the middle shown on the closing statement. However, suppose I don't want my buyer to know that I'm making $10,000 on this deal because I'm afraid his greed glands are going to swell up and explode.
And that happens.
I may choose to go ahead and take title and then immediately deed it to my buyer, do a simultaneous closing. If I take title in my own name, is my name going to wind up on public record as the buyer of that house?
Yes, sir.
Even though I don't own it anymore, is the whole world going to see I'm buying and selling houses and I've still got my name out there?
Yes.
But that's not the worst part. When you sign a warranty deed, that means you are warranting the title. That means, even as remote as this chance can be, if there's a title problem, it could come back on you as the previous owner of that property.
So that would put you in a chain of title from now on.
It would put you in a chain of title. If you're in a chain of title for 5 minutes, you're in a chain of title. That means, especially if you got deep pockets, you're right there. If there's a title problem, and you say, well, a buyer got title insurance, you're right. Have you ever tried to collect on a title insurance policy?
No, I haven't.
If I'm a buyer and I got a title problem, I'm going to sue title company and previous owner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just gets everybody motivated, doesn't it?
Yeah, if that previous owner is a land trust, let them sue it. The minute that property is deeded out of it, it's dead and worthless anyway. It's not funded anymore, so there is no land trust. So let them sue a dead land trust.
Okay,
the point is simple, Randy. Don't ever put your name on public record for anything having to do with real estate.
You know, Ron, that's really that really summarizes it. And I know we have a lot of people that ask us, you know, like you said, these unique circumstances, and we try to cerebral our way through the circumstance. But that, what you just said, that summary makes it very clear. Just don't do it.
They'll do it anyway, Bob.
That may be.
Because at least, all these rules apply to everyone else. They don't apply to you.
Well, we have that, too, where somebody from another, at this recent show, someone came up and said, well, will this work in our city or in our state? And I kind of surprised them. I said, no, it just won't work there. It works everywhere else but there. And
They're just
expecting you to
hang
argue.
Hang around me too long, Bob. Well, and, you know, after a while, you get tired of trying to convince people. I've been at this for 20 years now, guys, and I've been teaching it for 12 years, and I've taught thousands of people how to use this. And just after a while, it gets a little old.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know, I'm long past the stage where I have to convince anybody of anything anymore. It's our job to put out the word, and those who want to live by that word, live by it. Those who don't will pay the price.
Sure.
And I cannot tell you how many times people have come up to me in tears, crying, because they didn't take one little strategic move and fill out a few pieces of paper to protect themselves from creditors and predators. And incidentally, we don't want to give anybody that the impression that a land trust will stop creditors and predators, because it will not. Mm-hmm. It's only the first line of defense, and that defense is privacy. By not having your name on public record, when they do an asset search on you and they find nothing, that will stop a lot of creditors and predators right there in their tracks, because they don't have anything to gain they may not pursue.
So it's an initial shield, puts up a roadblock. It's not the cure-all, but it's a mandatory start then.
Well, I can give you another great benefit of a land trust, and I know we're going to get to it here, and I know we're getting way out of order here, so it's up to you guys to figure out which questions we've answered.
No, we're doing fine.
Okay. Another benefit of a land trust is to disguise the fact that property is transferred ownership and possibly prevent the lender from calling the loan due. For example, Bob, you're deeding your property to me,
mm-hmm.
but you're not. You're deeding it to my land trust. Okay?
Okay.
By law, by federal law, a lender cannot call a loan due because you put your property in trust for estate planning purposes.
Okay.
It's the Garn St. Germain Federal Depository Institution Act of 1982. That law prohibits a lender from calling that loan due, and it also has several other exclusions in it. For example, an interfamily transfer, the lender cannot call a loan due. Might want to pull that law up. If you're listening to this and take a look at that, there are several exclusions in there. And it just happens that that's one of them. You put a property in a land trust, lender cannot call a loan due. You do not need the lender's permission to put your house in a land trust. They cannot stop you. They cannot deny you that right. It's federal law. So it probably even applies to Texas and California.
Okay. Now,
by putting that property in that land trust and recording that deed on public record, the lender won't know who the beneficial interest is.
That's a good point.
Okay.
So they may not have any knowledge that that property is transferred. Now, if you put your property in a land trust, you still own the property.
That's
through
right.
the trust. However, if you sign the deed and you put the property into a land trust, I can just as easily be the beneficial interest. And of course, the lender will not be aware of that.
The lender won't be aware of it. That goes right along with the whole subject to process.
In effect, now, have we triggered a due on sale clause? Yes. If the lender were to find out that the land trust is not owned by the previous owner, then they could call the loan due.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to lead anybody to believe that they can't call the loan due,
but
regardless of who the beneficial interest is, because that's not the case. However, if they don't know, you and I both know, all of us know, that they're not going to call a loan due anyway, as long as somebody's making the payments. But all of us students listening to this are so much worried about that. I was just bringing up the point that by putting it into a land trust, the lender will not even know unless somebody tells them.
That's one extra layer of insulation there.
And while we're on that subject, we might as well cover how to title that land trust to even enhance that.
Okay. Go ahead, Ron. How would you put the name on it?
Your name is Bob Meister.
Mm-hmm.
I would title your, where it says trustee, there's a blank on the deed to calls for the trustee's name.
Mm-hmm.
I would title this trust the Meister Family Trust.
There you go.
In my case, ABC Corp as trustee.
Okay. It's kind of flattering to the seller and probably
the seller won't even know it.
Okay.
The seller won't even know it. The seller won't even see it, which is another issue, and that's how much you tell the seller. You don't want to get into a debate with a seller or a seminar with a seller. The seller's just signing the deed. They don't care about the trust stuff.
Okay.
But by putting the Meister Family Trust right on public records, it indicates that the Meister family might still have an interest in the trust.
You bet. And in all your teaching and everybody asking you questions and all the, you know, your helpline and everything, the due on sale clause is just not a factor for transferring property as long as someone's making the payments. Is that correct?
But, Randy, it's a factor when you're brand new.
I understand that, but I mean, that's what we're trying to educate.
And you haven't clearly analyzed the fact that if you don't make promises you can't keep, and you get that CYA letter signed from that seller, that there's nothing they can do to you if they do call the loan due. After that finally sinks in, it's not an issue. But when you have folks listening to this, it is an issue. And besides, why not go ahead and title your trust, just like I just said,
mm-hmm.
even if they won't call the loan due, why create an issue? Why rub it in their nose, title is transferred?
Oh, absolutely. We do exactly that. It helps with the insurance, too.
Yeah.
The insurance company.
When we get the deed, we're going to keep our word. We're going to do what we say. We're going to make the payments, and ultimately the loan's going to get paid off anyway, and then it becomes a non-issue.
Absolutely.
So why stir up the can of worms?
Okay.
Makes all the sense.
Is there any, using a land trust, is there any problem with the chain of title when you title a property into a land trust? Is that causing problems later on?
Are you saying because I used to own it now, I might show up as a previous owner and
do an asset search? No, let's say Bob Meister owns it. We title into the Bob Meister Family Land Trust.
Yes.
And then it gets sold 2 years later. And so,
okay.
In essence, the land trust owned it for those two years. Now it's sold to the lease option person.
So I've never had any problem with that.
Okay, well, I was just asking.
Now, you know, there are some chain of title problems going on out there right now where the lender wants to see the seller own the property for 6 months or so.
Mm-hmm.
That's another whole subject for another conversation, but the land trust is not really the issue there. It's just that the owner hadn't owned the property very long, whether it be in their name or whether it be in the land trust.
Okay. Well, in essence, a trust would really help, could help in that situation.
Well, it could help if you do what I just said. If the
right.
Bob Meister were to deed it to the Meister Family Trust, then the new lender for the buyer would assume that the Meister Family Trust or the Meister family still owns the property.
That's
sure.
correct.
Is that the point you're trying to get me to make?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Got there.
Yeah.
How do we change a trustee for whatever reason we no longer want to use a certain relative or something? How do we change a trustee, Ron?
Okay, you just fire them. There is a document that has an appointment of successor trustee that's in your trust agreement. And if your trustee dies on you, first thing you do is you attend their funeral.
Yeah.
And then you just fill out an appointment of successor trustee. Now, If the trustee is going willingly, of course, which is almost always the case, then what I tell my students to do is to have the trustee sign a quit claim deed to your new trustee.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, that's
trustee
new.
Trustee A signs quit claim deed to trustee B.
And then do you record that deed?
Nope. I only record it when somebody wants me to.
Wants you to, you just keep it in your
folder. Now, unless trustee A wants their name off public record as a trustee, then okay. I record it.
Is there much of a liability then? I mean, why would the trustee
want has no liability whatsoever unless they create some kind of fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason I use a quick claim deed is because I find that the forces to be out there in the attorney world and in the closing agent world, they all understand a quick claim deed. They do not understand an assignment of beneficial interest or an assignment or a transfer of trustee and so forth.
It's amazing the workaround you have for the legal community and for the investor community just to get them to cooperate.
Anytime we can make it easier for them to understand and create less grief by just changing a form, for crying out loud, let's do it.
May as well.
And I'll tell you something, guys. I have noticed the title companies that are out there now, the newer ones especially, the folks that are closing these documents and doing these deals, they really don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
No, the quality of the pool of employees are getting less and less.
I think some of these folks are coming from the fast food restaurants.
I've heard you say that before. Okay. And it's legal in all 50 states. We went over that. Will my attorney understand this if I go to a local attorney and
I try
to educate him?
Probably not, but he's a good real estate attorney and he's in a state where this has been common for quite a while. He probably will, and even then they may advise against it. Here's why I think they advise against it, Randy. I think that they think you think that it will protect your assets. I from my experience, the feedback that I'm getting is that the attorney believes you've been misled to believe that it will keep people from suing you or protect your assets when they do. Any predator who finds out you have beneficial interest in a land trust can take that beneficial interest away from you. So without turning this into an asset protection tape, the land trust is just the first line of defense by creating the privacy. We still need to get that beneficial interest down into limited partnerships or some other entity to protect it from the creditors. And attorneys somehow believe that that's all there is to the land trust. They're not looking at it from the privacy issue. Besides, attorneys don't really want you to have privacy.
Well, that's true. That's how they get paid.
Correct. The more privacy American people have, the harder their job is.
Well, my daughter was in law school for a couple of years, and I asked her at the end of her second year, how much education have you had on land trusts? And she said, on all trusts, I think I had about 25 minutes. So.
Uh-huh.
So you can just see that's not something that's commonly taught. And you must probably have to be a specialist in real estate law before you'd really know what a land trust is.
And maybe not then, if
it's
not used commonly in your area.
That's right. That's right.
Can we still do a 1031 exchange with a land trust so that we can not have to pay taxes on our profit?
Yeah, correct. Okay. You know, you might want to be prepared to prove that you are the beneficial interest of that land trust and in case you need to, you should consult with your 1031 exchange professional on that, but the fact that you titled in the land trust will not prevent a 1031 exchange.
Is there a life to the land trust? I mean, does it have
usually it's 30 years. Frankly, I've never had one.
Yeah.
It's only been in business 20 years. That hasn't concerned me a whole lot, especially with us quick turn folks, but the life is usually 30 years.
Well, plus you can just create another one. It seems like you can create one pretty quickly, so
true.
You probably just transfer the property if it ever happened. But.
And actually, if I'm not mistaken, I'd have to verify this, but I think there's a perpetuity clause in there that automatically extends it anyway, but I can't promise you that.
Yeah, and I believe the trust agreement also protects our trustee if there's anything that would happen to the home or anything, and for some reason they would be getting sued, the trust agrees to, the beneficial interest agrees to pay for all their legal fees, I believe. Isn't that true?
Yes, trustee is not liable for any actions of the trust.
Okay.
On the other hand, the trustee just can't go do whatever they want. They must do what the beneficial interest directs them. But here's what a trustee does. Nothing. Except
when it's time
to sell the property, they sign the deed.
Okay.
That's it.
Well, now, Ron, let me ask you, if you had your
if your daughter was in another state and she was a trustee, you can have a trustee visit with her, can't you, and have that tax deductible?
Well, now, Bob, you might want to try that. I'm not going to stretch the rules that far. I learned a long time ago not to dance with that gorilla.
Well, when you said they have nothing to do, well, at least we have to meet to discuss that.
Well, you know what? You can get away with that if you wish. I'm certainly not going to advise that to everybody listening to these tapes, but in fact, my daughter was my trustee for a long time.
Okay.
And that's one reason I really don't want her name on public record either. I don't like individuals' names being on public record, especially when you're dealing with these low-end cheap properties. Sometimes these, I mean, I've had properties that have been out of my name for years and out of her name for years as trustee. We still get letters from the county.
Isn't that something?
About, because the new owners aren't taken care of and they're let the taxes get delinquent. Some of them are getting bulldozed, you know. Just the counties, you know, the counties, their records aren't up to date, but I just don't like individual name on public record if you can help it.
Sure, that makes sense.
Well, that makes sense. When the property is sold, the title company writes a check. Don't they write that check to the trustee?
They'll write that check to anybody you tell them to write it to.
Okay.
They'll write it to the trustee unless somebody directs them differently.
Okay. Okay. So if they're your title company, which they should be, you establish a relationship, you tell them what to do.
And if they don't do it, you smack them.
Mm-hmm. Or whack them, as I've heard you say.
Worst case, you just get the trustee to write them a note, tell them to make the check out to whoever you want to make it out to.
Okay.
You know, a title company has to do with what they're told. They don't get to make up the rules as they go. They do what they're told, as long as it's complying with the law.
Sure.
Okay. How about the rental, you know, if you're renting property and you have a land trust, should the land trust and the rental agreement reference each other? Now, I don't usually do that at all.
No.
Okay.
I don't either.
Okay.
If my property is titled to a land trust, it depends on what entity owns the land trust. Let's say that frankly, you shouldn't really have rentals in your C corporation. So let's just assuming your LLC owns your beneficial interest of your land trust.
Okay.
You have a couple of choices. You can have the rental agreement in the name of the LLC, or you can have a management corporation doing the managing for you and have the rental agreement in the name of the management corporation.
Okay.
And of course, the funds could come and go into either of those as well. A land trust does not have a bank account. So a land trust is not an entity you deposit funds into.
Okay, so that solves that problem.
The funds either have to go into your rental account, or they have to go into your LLC account or your S corporation account, one of those three. Or a management corporation that is managing properties for whomever the owner is. Now, if that didn't screw them up, nothing will.
Well, they can listen to it several times like we've had to over the years. You know, you beat us in the head, and then we used everything we've got's in the land trust. We, meaning Charlie and I, and I'm sure Bob also.
Yes.
So, speaking of that, how about your personal home?
My personal home is in a land trust.
Okay.
Always will be. Till the day I die.
Okay, and that leads to the next question. Obviously, the students say, well, doesn't that leave a trail if you already own it and you put it in a land trust?
Well, it does leave a trail if I own it personally and I put it in a land trust. However, that day I don't own it anymore.
That's
when
right.
Someone checks public records, they don't check to see who used to own it. That won't help a creditor or predator.
That's right.
Who owns it now? And now the public records show the trustee owns it.
Right. So most of the ambulance chasers just pull up the initial asset check, and when you don't have anything in your name, most of them drop off.
An asset check is done by a barely above minimum wage employee who punches up in a computer and prints out a list of everything that tags to that name. That's it. That information is then relayed to the attorney who acts on that information. Some people think there's some kind of a spy trained by the CIA down at the courthouse looking through every single public record that's ever been recorded since the death of Christ to see what's going on with your name. It just doesn't work that way.
Sure.
And it's just not that complicated or detailed.
Yes, that's true.
If you ever saw how that system worked, I mean, it would amaze you how simple it is, how quickly it's done, and how little information is provided to that attorney when he wants to take action. Now, if I were an attorney, could I go back and literally do a search to find out what you used to own? Sure, I could, but what good would it do me? You don't own anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why waste your time and your money? And money and time is money. Okay.
Probably ought to want some states have a homestead exemption.
Okay,
so Texas,
I should talk about that.
put your property into a land trust, it does not cost you your homestead exemption. Now, what I advise students to do, especially here in Florida, where I've been doing it for a long time, is I just put a little note on the deed that the beneficial interest of this land trust resides in this property as their personal residence.
Okay.
And that protects my homestead exemption status.
Okay, that's okay.
And that's got to go right on the deed now, so it's
right.
So that's right on public record.
Okay. What about if my trustee gets sued for something they did, not having anything to do with the land trust?
Well, in other words, if a lawsuit against your trustee will affect the land trust, no, it won't.
Okay. Okay.
Well, liability to the trustee doesn't bleed over into the land trust, nor liability on the beneficiary doesn't affect the trustee.
How do you, when you, now that the home's in the land trust, and you have to get landlord policy if it's a rental property or
uh-huh.
if it's your personal home, whose name goes on the insurance policy?
Well, that really depends on where you live and how much trouble you're having with insurance companies. The easy way to answer that, Randy, is ask the insurance company how they want you to do it.
Okay.
That, believe me, that's the easiest way.
Okay, because you can always prove you own it because
yeah.
you have the beneficial interest.
In Florida, we have a hard time getting insurance as trustee.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I just insure it in my own name because I'm the beneficial interest. If that's the easiest way, then that's the easiest way. Sometimes I'll insure it in a corporate name. Even that, some insurance companies are reluctant to do. Some insurance companies have their own rules, you know, and I just ask them, okay, well, here's the deal. What do you want me to do? And let them answer it.
Yeah, as long as you get it insured.
As long as you get it insured.
That's the important thing. Okay. Because you can always prove who owns it.
Sometimes you might want to leave the seller's name on the policy and add you as additional insured. But if you do that, just get a power of attorney from your seller, a power of attorney dealing with that property only. In other words, giving you the rights to, in other words, you have a fire, you just send the power of attorney to the insurance company and tell them to make check out to you and not the seller.
Okay.
That seems like a wise move in general to have the limited power of attorney just for all the dealings.
Yes. Whenever you get a deed, you should get a limited power of attorney.
Okay. Okay. We're covering these questions pretty well.
Well, yeah.
You are the expert. In fact, I can't find anything we haven't answered, Ron.
Oh, there's a lot of them on here we haven't answered. I like transfer tax.
That's correct.
Yeah, several states have a transfer tax. How is this affected by that? How does the land trust affect the transfer tax?
Well, there was only one state that I know of that made you pay transfer tax at a regular rate, and that was Pennsylvania. And I believe they still do that. If you put your house in a land trust, you will pay transfer tax just as if you sold it to someone else. Pennsylvania used to charge a $200 per year per trust fee. They've waived that now.
Oh, have they?
Yes. So as far as I know, there's little or no transfer tax to put your property in a land trust throughout the country. Now,
okay.
For example, in Florida, our dock stamps or our transfer tax is $7 per thousand. So I have to pay $7 plus the recording cost for recording two pages. So altogether, it costs me $20 to put a property into a land trust.
Okay, Maryland has I was asked about Maryland. They have something like a 4% transfer
3%.
Tax?
They have an ugly transfer tax, but it doesn't apply, as far as I know, by just putting your property into a land trust.
Because if you're putting your own property in there, it's an exempt transaction.
Yes, and ownership trust really hasn't transferred.
And that leads us to something else. When you do put your property in a land trust, the beneficial interest becomes personal property, not real property. And that's ease of transferability. We were talking about earlier, and I know you didn't want to get in that real deep, but it is very easy amongst people that are educated.
Yeah, it's simple. If you have a land trust and you're the beneficial interest, you can just assign me the beneficial interest as long as I'm willing to leave your land trust in place. And of course, if you do that, nothing down at the courthouse changes hands because
mm-hmm.
the deed didn't transfer. The deed's still into the land trust. It's just that the beneficial interest of the land trust transfers, so it doesn't trigger transfer tax. It doesn't trigger any more recording costs, so there are no closing costs.
Okay.
Now I got to tell you, a disclaimer here. If the state were to discover that this property did literally transfer ownership, they very well may want to make a case for getting transfer tax.
Okay.
So when you do the assignment of beneficial interest, that's really just between you, yourselves, and obviously the original beneficiary, and that's not recorded either.
No. and it's also between you and your accountants, both buyer and seller, because it is a sale, it is a taxable exchange, and so there has to be a closing statement from the seller and a closing statement from the buyer.
Mm-hmm. Now, once the homeowner puts the property into a land trust and they assign, let's say I'm buying the home subject to, and they assign me the beneficial interest, and I use my trustee, the land trust is a revocable trust.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have the power to revoke that trust for any reason?
The beneficiary can revoke the trust anytime they want.
Only the beneficiary?
Only the beneficiary, not the trustee. Trustee has no power.
Right.
About, and is that the current beneficiary, Ron? So
the current beneficiary.
Okay, so here, follow
once
the scenario.
Once a seller deeds a property into a land trust, they're out of it.
Okay.
They have no right to go back and pick apart that land trust.
Okay.
The seller's
okay.
done. It's no different if they sign a deed to you personally.
Okay, that's, believe it or not, that's a question we have that some attorneys trying to say the original beneficial interest can revoke the trust.
There is no original beneficial interest because there was no trust from that seller when you bought that property. That seller was never a beneficiary. Is that what we're talking about now?
Yeah.
Oh, I know what you're referring to. I used to teach to have the seller put the property into a land trust
mm-hmm.
and then assign beneficial interest to you.
That's correct.
I do not teach that anymore. That has become too cumbersome. People make a mess out of it. And there's really no reason for it, as we discussed earlier.
What you're saying is that when we do the warranty deed to trustee, the land trust agreement has us, the buyers, as the initial beneficiary.
Correct.
Okay.
The only reason we ever did that before was in case a lender wanted to call the loan due. You could take the original trust agreement down there with the seller's name as beneficiary, and trick the lender into believing that the seller still owns the property.
Okay.
Okay.
Frankly, I'd rather they not do that anyway.
So let me ask you back on
the lender's going to call a loan due, let them call them due.
Okay.
Maybe we should touch on that, because anytime it's mentioned, there always is that little fear-monger that comes up, and I think recently you made mention of some law, policy, or something where the lenders are going to even have it more difficult. They have to show some harm or damage.
Well, my information is that there's a couple of state rulings now that where the due on sale clause was challenged and the plaintiff won because the lenders are forced to show that they would be damaged or how they would be damaged if they didn't call the loan due. And since they couldn't show how they would have been damaged, then the plaintiff won.
And that's because
lenders want that to get to federal court, to the Supreme Court, because in effect, if it did, it would literally overturn the due on sale clause and make it worthless.
As long as you're making payments.
If the lender is not harmed in their present status and calling the loan due does not change that status, then, you know, there's a case to be made that they have no right to call the loan due.
Right, right.
Yeah, because there is no harm. And that's all they really want
is
money anyway.
That's case by case, Randy.
Pardon?
That's case by case. You know?
Right.
In our cases, when we take over the deed and we make payments, you know, it will be up to us to make a case. The lender's not at harm. They can't call a loan due.
Okay. And you had also mentioned earlier, it was just briefly, but on occasion we get people that have their own home and they want to or have properties that they've purchased using subject to techniques, and
mm-hmm.
they say, well, now what I want to do is I want to sell it to my other company. I want to change it from my personal name to my LLC's name. And if I understand you correctly, well, you and your accountant have to actually work out a sales agreement. You just can't buy something in your own name and then say, well, now I'm going to go sell it to my LLC, because that truly was a sale, and it isn't just a simple matter of you selling something that you've already purchased from
correct.
The seller.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Anytime you transfer a property from yourself or from any entity,
mm-hmm.
you have a taxable event. You have
okay.
an event that needs to be reported as a sale. So if you bought it in your own name, and then you sell it to your LLC, you might as well have sold it to me. It
right.
is an arm's length transaction, and you have to report that as a sale to me and pay taxes on it if there's a gain.
That's right.
And then the LLC has to pick it up at that purchase price, and from that day it belongs to them. So it was a purchase for them and a sale for you. Having the land trust in there is irrelevant to that process.
I'm glad you explained that, because we get that where we try to make the land trust concept fairly simple. Well, then sometimes it's implied that, well, gee whiz, you can do this with anything retroactive, and there is a little bit of an implication retroactively when you're selling property you already own.
Well, retroactive, you know, you can fix anything in the year you bought it before you file your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
If I bought a property in my own name and I decide I want to transfer it to my corporation before that year, I can do that. I can do that, and I can just adjust the books and have a loan from one entity to the other. And that's a good part about buying it in a land trust, guys. If I buy my property in a land trust and I'm the beneficial interest, that's going to be the case whether it's in my own LLC or whether it's in my corporation. Because it makes no difference to the IRS who's the beneficial interest of the land trust. They don't ever want to even see the land trust. All they care about, and this is a hard one for people to understand, all they care about is where is the money coming from, where is the money going, and what entity are you reporting it to the IRS in. That's all they care about. For example, Disney World down here doesn't own this property in the name of Disney World, Inc., but I can assure you the money's going into their corporation.
Sure.
They own it in a trust. They own it in a trust. So forget about the IRS and the name on public records is irrelevant. The two don't mix. Again, the IRS only cares about where the money's going and coming from and what entity you reported in. So if I take title in a land trust and I'm the beneficial interest, that property can either belong to me personally or it can belong to my corporation. So if I am going to make this transfer, it'd be nice if I did it within that first year.
So
that way I can just adjust the books. So let's say I took $100 out of my personal rental account, or my rental account to buy the property, and then I collected 3 months rent in the rental account from the property. Then I decided I want to transfer it to my corporation. All I could do was say that is a loan from my rental account to my corporation.
Okay.
And have
okay.
my accountant transfer it on my books, and from that day forward, start collecting the rent in my corp, paying the money out of my corp, reporting it to the IRS for my corp.
Okay.
Does that make any sense?
Yes, sir.
As long as you do that before you file your first tax return. If you do it afterwards, you'd literally have to sell it from one end to the other, which is a simple closing statement. There are no See, that's another beauty of the land trust. I can sell it from my private individual entity to my corporation, but there will be no closing costs. Because my corporation will buy it probably for whatever debt that's on it, it'll take it subject to.
Yeah, be no gain or loss except what you decided.
Well, there might be a gain or a loss, but there will be nothing happening down the courthouse. There'll be no transfer tax. There'll be no closing costs, in other words. So it's a very simple closing statement. My purchase price is generally my loan amount. Closing cost zero. Check due seller zero. Check due buyer zero. Then I have another statement on the other side that I'm buying it. I'm buying it for the loan amount. Paying nothing, receiving nothing. Very simple. Even though it sounds very complicated, I'm sure.
Well,
you guys haven't asked me, how do you find a trustee? How do you pick a trustee yet?
Well, we'll ask you that one now, Ron. How do you pick out your trustee?
Well, you probably ought to pick somebody you trust. Because remember, the trustee does have the right to sign the deed. Now, a trustee can't sign the deed without beneficiary's permission, but hey, suppose you take a trip to Hawaii and your trustee's back here selling your property while you're gone, getting the money and leaving town before you get back. That would not be good.
No.
So if you have to have an individual trustee, just find somebody you trust. And some people ask me all the time, I don't trust anybody. Well, tell them, get a life.
Yeah, you've got a problem there somewhere, don't they?
Yeah. That's another reason why I like my corporation to be my trustee, where I don't have to worry about any other entity.
Okay, and could you not, if you had someone out of state, could you not, at time of closing, fill out the change of trustee agreement and just take that to closing and make yourself the trustee only for that small split moment?
I would not.
You would not, okay.
No, I would not. Not if I'm the beneficial interest.
Okay. Just bad business, huh?
No, it's just bad business.
Okay.
Anytime the trustee and the beneficial interest are the same individual or entity, you don't have a trust.
Okay.
You must have unrelated parties there.
Right, because it is a merge then. Okay. Even when you're going to sell it and it's leaving the trust, your name would be on public record then, wouldn't it?
If they chose to put it on public record, but to transfer the entity, it would. But that's really not the point. I don't want to stand a chance that the trust was not a trust, not even for a few minutes, because that could just create a domino effect and make a mess.
Okay.
Let's just do it right. And
all right.
Get a trustee. Remember, a trustee doesn't have to be a closing. FedEx goes everywhere.
Right.
Okay.
Ron, let's talk just kind of maybe a little bit of a summary or a review, but when we're buying a property, and obviously we're the get-the-deed people in the subject-to process, but what are we doing at the kitchen table closing? We're going to fill out a deed and a trust, and would you just
no,
go through that?
No, you're absolutely not going to be filling out a trust agreement at the kitchen table closing.
Okay.
That's where a lot of students make a mess. Most of their problems are self-inflicted, as I keep telling them.
We'll go through what exactly
the last thing in the world you want to do is try to explain to your seller what a trust agreement is.
Okay.
In fact, the word trust should never come out of your mouth.
Okay.
At a kitchen table or at a closing. You put the deed in front of them and you simply say, this is the document that transfers ownership from you to me.
Okay.
I'll need your signature where it says seal. And shut up.
All right. And then prior to that or after that in your own office, you fill out the land trust agreement?
Truthfully, most of the time you'll wind up filling out the deed after the seller signs it.
Okay.
Most of the deeds that we get signed are blank when we put them in front of the seller. If necessary, we'll sit there and then fill it in by hand.
All right.
So what if the seller asks, well, what's this trust stuff? I would say, well, we take title in trust for estate planning purposes. Frankly, it doesn't concern you and it's too complicated for me to even try to explain. I'll need your signature where it says seal.
All right.
And that transfers the property, and
that's all
they're really concerned about. You're solving their problems.
Now,
correct.
When they're signing the deed, then do we have a notary there to witness their signature?
Must have a notary whenever you get a deed signed, or you won't be able to record it.
All right. And then, obviously, when we do a trust, that is also notarized?
No. Actually, the trust does not have to be notarized because it's not recorded.
All right.
There is a place for a notary block on the trust. It is not a bad idea to get it notarized, but it is not voided if it's not notarized.
Okay, and then you have the trust basically created with the name of the seller is the name of the trust, but me, the purchaser, I'm the beneficiary, or my LLC, obviously, is the beneficiary.
We don't really care what goes in the name block where it calls for the trustee. It could be the Meister Family Trust, or it could be the Mickey Mouse Family Trust, whatever. We can call it anything we want. That doesn't mean that the Meister family has any interest in the trust.
Okay.
That's just a title that we put on the trust.
Well, it seems like it's a pretty simple process then, buying a house, you know, using a warranty deed to trustee and having the seller sign. They really don't have to have much education on what a land trust is. And
that's the way you want to keep it.
That's the way we want to keep it.
In fact, that's the way you want to keep it on the other end with title companies and attorneys. Don't try to educate them. Don't try to get them to explain it to you. Just tell them what deed you want to use and let them use it.
Okay.
If you're doing a tabletop closing in someone's living room, it's up to you to pull out the warranty deed to trustee. If you're having a close at a title company or attorney that's never done one before, which frankly you ought to look hard at doing,
right?
Find someone who has, then you give them the deed. Let them examine it. Let them look at it. Whatever they want to do with it. And when they're through, tell them that's the one I want to use. If they want to add a paragraph, fine. But don't let them delete anything without getting counsel on it.
Sure.
By the way, you also do not want to ever, in fact, if you're going to use an individual trustee, the smartest thing to do is not even have their Social Security number.
Okay.
Because you don't want to use the trustee's Social Security number and then have the closing agent report the sale on the trustee's Social Security number.
That'd be a shock, wouldn't it?
When a title company or someone asks for somebody's Social Security number as the seller, you should use your own if it in fact is your property. If it's a corporate property, you should use your corporate EIN number because you will be reporting that sale anyway.
All right, it protects them and solves all the problems ahead of time.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else you can think of?
Well, what happens when a property is sold? What happens to the trust? I think we covered that.
Right.
The trust is dead. The trustee just signs the deed, and it's over.
Right.
Refinancing.
FedEx works very well for out-of-state trustees. And it's, frankly, sometimes it's even easier that way than trying to arrange this mutual meeting of the minds and all that. It's easier to do it by FedEx.
Yes. And, in fact, I can't remember the last time I've ever actually had a trustee go to the closing.
Yep.
Financing, guys. I'm getting a lot of questions about how do I refinance my property if it's in a land trust.
Good.
And the answer is, well, first of all, some banks, if you ask them, will leave it in the land trust because you're going to guarantee that note personally anyway. As long as you guarantee the note, they'll leave it in the land trust and go ahead and prepare the mortgage that way. You're still on the hook.
Right.
But most of the time, they're going to make you take it out of the land trust, put it in your own name, go get the mortgage, and then the next day you can put it back into the land trust. That's not my ideal situation. That does put you on public record as the owner, but hey, that's the only way you're going to do it if you're going to refinance it and if they insist. Just make the case to go not refinance properties and sign guaranteed notes, doesn't it?
Well, yes. Absolutely, and that's what you preach. When you sign your name, you're taking big risk.
Well, that's true, but I don't care what you say, Bob says or I says, people are still going to do it because they see that cash there, and that's all they see, and risk be damned. I want the money.
I guess. You know, there's so many other ways, though. They'll just listen. They
okay.
don't have to refi. Okay. Everything? Anything
well, I guess
else
we just
you
want to thank
of?
You, Ron. This has really been informative for us. And you know, we've been talking to Ron LeGrand, the expert, and Randy and Charlie France and Bob Meister have a course called Get the Deed.
Well, guys, it's been fun. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Ron. And you've taught us new things, believe it or not. It's a pleasure every time. We learn from you every time.
All right. Well, thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Ron.
See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.